rest of the story. The main topman heard the bosun's mate below bellow out his name. It sounded like trouble. But the main topman, throughout the entire year he had served aboard the frigate United States, had never been in trouble. He'd been an efficient seaman, attending to the mainsail, conscientious in his duties, well-liked by his fellows. Nonetheless, naval vessels in those days were like floating prisons, attracted a limitless variety of otherwise aimless humanity, from the merely unfortunate to the sincerely iniquitous, thugs and thieves, a great many of them. And yet, while an officer might understandably mistake practically any member of the crew for a villain, the main topman had in fact done nothing wrong. He knew it in his heart, and so confidently he asked the bosun's mate why was he being summoned. The mate frowned, "The captain wants you at the mast." Well, that could mean only one thing, a flogging. Back then, in the summer of 1844, a flogging was no mere humiliation. It was a severe beating with scourges, a brutal thing which some recipients did not survive. And so it was with heart-pounding trepidation that the main topman stepped through the gangway, only to find the ship's tribunal and captain waiting at the mast. The quartermaster was there, too, arranging the grate to which the victim would be tethered. The bosun with his green bag of scourges, the master at arms, prepared to strip the condemned man to the waist. The charge issued by one of the officers was failure in his duty at his station in the starboard main lift. The main topman, astonished, protested that he had never been assigned to the starboard main lift. Surely there'd been some mistake, he pleaded, but the word of a common seaman, considering the unsavory reputation of common seamen, was scarcely worth hearing. So the main topman was sentenced to be flogged. And he would have been, if not for Jack Chase. For just as the master-at-arms stepped forward, Jack from among the assembled announced in a clear voice that the main topman was a good fellow, a responsible sailor, that he would never be absent from his station if he knew where it was. I don't know whether Captain Claret would have listened to anyone else, seaman or officer, but he listened to Jack Chase. Because everybody listened to Jack Chase. For aboard this watertight den of mostly questionable characters, Jack Chase stood out and above the corruption. He was a kind-hearted, pure-minded, utterly amiable, even a righteous individual. It was only later, after the main topman was released to his duties unharmed, that he confided to Jack Chase what would have occurred had he not spoken up. For you see, the accused man, befuddled by sheer fear, burning with anger over the injustice, had decided that in the next instant he would lunge for Captain Claret, and he would take him over the side and drown both of them, the captain and himself. But because good guy Jack Chase, himself a common seaman, bravely stepped forward when he did, he prevented a murder and a suicide. And at the same time, brought forth volumes of the world's greatest literature, later to be penned by a once wrongly condemned sailor named Herman Melville, who one day, ostensibly in fiction, paid a most remarkable tribute to Jack Chase's anomalous goodness and courage. And so the world came to know Jack Chase by the name Billy Budd. Now you know the rest of the story.